Hey guys, and welcome to the Sober as Shit podcast. Today's episode is sponsored by Coaching with Brandy. If you're looking to add a little extra to your recovery portfolio, or if you're questioning whether or not you want to get sober and you want some extra accountability or guidance, please feel free to reach out for your free 20-minute consultation with me, and let's see if we're a right fit for each other.
All right, welcome to the Sober as Shit podcast. Today we have a special guest with us, Chris. Chris, how are you doing today?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. So Chris, I wanted to start off by asking you a few questions, where you're from, how old you are, and a brief background of kind of your drinking story, basically.
Sure. I am 47. I live in Portland, Oregon. And I think my story is probably pretty common. I started drinking at a pretty young age, as an early teen, and kind of experimented with drinking a little bit. And then in college, did the whole binge drinking culture. And then, you know, sometime in my 20s, I started drinking more by myself. I think in my early 20s, I realized that I didn't really drink the same as other people, but I just went ahead and continued anyway. Got married and was married for almost 18 years, actually almost 19 years, and drank sort of steadily through my 30s. And then into my 40s, I started really getting very heavy into it. I was definitely hiding a lot of the drinking that I was doing. I isolated. I went down to my sort of man cave and drank myself to sleep most nights when my family was already up in bed. So I was definitely secretive about it and hiding it. And that was how it progressed for me. And I don't think I realized how bad it was really getting. Even though I knew I didn't drink normally, I didn't know how bad it had gotten until it really started to spill out of the secret drinking into, you know, kind of over into my regular life when, you know, my wife or other people started sort of being like, hey, are you drunk right now? Or did you have a drink today? And I started having to admit that, yeah, there was a problem there. And so, you know, at about almost 3 years ago, I'm actually at 35 months today.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much. I can't believe it's been that long. It really doesn't seem like it, but I hit a sort of a high bottom situation on a vacation where I knew that I couldn't continue to do this. And after trying to quit without really telling anyone except for my wife at the time, I decided it was time to reach out for help and tell other people. And that was really what made all the difference for me. And that's when I started actually going to meetings. I started with AA, and then I started into SMART Recovery, which I sort of drifted out of AA and stuck with SMART. And I told friends, and I talked to my coworkers and my boss, who happens to be a friend, which was good that I actually had a lot of people on my side. I got nothing but support. And that made just asking for help for me. I like the metaphor that I was like drowning in quicksand, and you know, the more I fought by myself, the more I just sunk into it. And it wasn't until I asked someone to throw me a rope that I was able to pull out with their help. And now I just try not to go back in.
Awesome. That's really, really cool. So you mentioned a wife and a family. Are you still married?
No. So I did get divorced while sober in recovery, which was, it's definitely the most difficult thing that I've been through sober. But I'm really glad that I did it sober. And, you know, a couple of times when it was really, really rough, I was definitely tempted. The divorce happened when I was just over a year sober, and continued through that second year of sobriety. So there were many times during that year that I really leaned on my programs and the people that are in recovery with me on this journey that I can call and text and talk to. And oh boy, a lot of late night phone calls and text sessions where I just kind of poured out my heart and soul and got a lot of great support back, and that kept me on track. But now I'm very happily divorced, happily single, and my relationship with my daughter is great. You know, she's 14 now, and we have a closer relationship than ever. We were always close, but it's even better now because we don't have the stress of you know, my not happy marriage around. So it's just the two of us when she's there, and it's great.
Awesome. That's such an amazing and heartening story to hear. So you're a work in progress. What does that mean to you?
Well, at this point, you know, I don't really, recovery is still in my life. And I think of recovery now as being something that I apply to everything in my life. And I don't think that it's ever, I'm never done. I'm on a journey without like thinking about a destination. I used to hear that cliche and not really know what it meant. And I really understand now that I don't ever want to say like, oh, I've got it figured out. You know, because in the past, when I thought I had it figured out, I would just find a new bottom. So I think of being a work in progress as being like, I'm always working on myself. And I've discovered a lot of things about myself where even though at this point in my recovery, I don't have a lot of cravings and I don't really think about drinking much at all, I still use the tools that I've picked up in recovery for just for everyday life. And that's the, you know, and I haven't, and I'm not perfect and I'm never going to be, and that's okay.
So what are some of the tools that you use?
Well, because of Smart Recovery, which is, you know, based in kind of cognitive behavioral therapy, I learned some things about myself by talking to a therapist and by just reading and trying to learn as much as I could about this. I learned that I have a codependent tendency and I'm a people pleaser. I think a lot of people in recovery have that. And I tend to not have very high self-worth. I undervalue myself. And I think some of that came from my history with bullying. And, you know, you don't think about some of the things that happened. I had a pretty happy childhood, but there are small T traumas. You know, there's big T traumas, which are like major catastrophes that happen. But then there's small T trauma, which is, you know, just interpersonal issues and being kind of like a late bloomer and kind of a nerdy kid. I think some of that led to my not having very good self-esteem, and I tend to not value myself enough. So in Smart Recovery, I picked up some tools like the main one I think about a lot with Smart is like disputing irrational beliefs. A lot of that recovery training has to do with thinking about, you know, what is it when we're triggered to drink or use or whatever our addictive behavior might be, there may be some irrational belief underneath that. Like, you know, if I'm feeling triggered and I sort of underneath that, I think, well, it's because I felt insecure because I just know that I'm not good enough. Well, that's an irrational belief. I'm not any better or worse than anybody else. And, or I can't be uncomfortable. Whatever this feeling is I'm having right now is sadness or anger or fear. I don't want to feel that. So I will just drink to not feel that. And those are the kinds of things that are sort of irrational, or everything has to be perfect. Everything has to be just right, or else I'm a failure. These are kinds of like irrational beliefs that I jump to. And I've been teaching myself to dispute those and say, no, that's not true. A feeling of fear is a feeling of fear. It doesn't mean that, okay, now I'm going to be a failure. I'm a bad person. And part of the way that I dispute and kind of deal with those feelings is through self-care, which is a term we hear a lot in recovery and in just life in general. And I definitely still use that every day. I try to take time for myself. I try to remember that I can say no. There's a cliche that saying the word no is a complete sentence. I'm still not there yet. That's part of the work in progress, but I'm trying to work on being better at, you know, with love telling people, no, I can't take that on right now, or I can't go to that party because I'll be triggered there or whatever. And, you know, it's just really important for me to make sure that I'm a little bit selfish, because my tendency in the past was to really be a people pleaser and just do, you know, just say yes. So, yeah. And then I try to do a little bit of positive self-talk. It's sort of hard for me, but I try to just remind myself that my needs are as valid as anyone else's, and if I need to ask for what I want, people aren't going to be able to read my mind. You get that resentment sometimes when you're like, well, why didn't that person just know that I was upset, or, you know, whatever. And I think we need to stand up for ourselves and say, no, this is not okay with me, and here's why. And, you know, not in an accusing, confrontational way, but just in a way that says, hey, I matter to myself, and I love myself enough to tell you that I have a problem right now. And that I've found that comes out in interesting ways. Like, I actually had a suitcase that got destroyed by baggage claim or by the airport, by the airline. And at baggage claim, it was just destroyed and the handle was coming off. And it was a fine suitcase when I left for my trip. And there was a time in the past I would have just gone, well, that's what happens when you travel. It sucks. But I was like, no, you know what? I'm worth more than that. And this suitcase cost me money and I'm not going to stand for that this time. So I went into the baggage office and I was like, this was a good suitcase when I left and now it's destroyed. This is not going to work. And they were like, well, it was probably too heavy. And I was like, no, it weighed exactly 42 pounds. I saw on the scale, it wasn't too heavy. So they got me a new, they bought me a new suitcase and I have like a beautiful, nice suitcase now that I can travel with. And it's just because I had the courage to just go, no, I'm not, I'm worth, you know, I'm worth it. I can actually give myself the benefit of like the self-love to say, no, I can actually ask for this. But it's also a balance between that sort of finding that confidence and assertiveness and also being vulnerable. And in my relationships, I try to be vulnerable and honest and open. I try to listen to other people's feelings and express mine and try to be really, really clear about what I'm feeling. And it can be really scary, but I found the payoff is that I get stronger relationships and friendships. And I try to also just be really grateful. We hear a lot about gratitude and it definitely works for me. I think it wasn't until sometime in maybe year two, probably while I was going through my divorce, amazingly enough, I figured out that I can be grateful for so many things in my life. Even when things are at their worst, that's when I felt gratitude was the most helpful to me, to be grateful for my daughter and my relationship with her and grateful for my health when I have it and grateful for my job and just things like that. Really make me realize like there's so many people in the world that are suffering and I am doing pretty well. So I just can be, you know, remembered that that's good to be grateful.
Absolutely. And
sometimes it feels, you know, sometimes this stuff feels a little cheesy. I think some of us are like, oh no, I'm too cool to, you know, go around be having gratitude lists or telling people I love them. But it's like, honestly, I think that's just cynical and it's just so easy for people to be cynical. And I try not to be now and I'm just okay with being cheesy. And I think it helps sometimes just be like, yeah, I'm just going to tell, like, I had a coworker who left, and she's one of my favorite people and she left, last week. And as she was walking out at this party that we had, I gave her a hug and I said, I love you. And she said, I love you too. And I was like, that was weird. I never said that to a coworker just spontaneously, but it just comes out of me now. And she responded, you know, she obviously didn't have a problem hearing that. It wasn't uncomfortable. It was actually really nice. And so I just realized like, yeah, just say what you feel.
Absolutely. And that's one of the things that we get to learn in recovery. It's like, we don't have to bottle up everything. We can say what we mean and people aren't going to react how we necessarily think they will. And it took a long time to figure that out.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, so much of addiction is about squashing our real feelings. And I think that translates to just sort of an overall attitude of like, I don't want the world to see what I'm really feeling. And that not being vulnerable, not allowing yourself. I mean, obviously there are times when you need to be safe and protect yourself, but in most situations, if you feel like you're around people that you can kind of trust, then I think it's better to be a little bit vulnerable and let that out and tell people really what you're thinking and just honesty and openness.
Absolutely. Well, was there anything else you wanted to add to say someone debating getting sober at 47 or a parent or somebody thinking about dating and recovery, like anything? Because I mean,
yeah.
You've touched on SMART, which is pretty awesome.
Gosh, I know. I could probably talk for hours. I wrote down all these things I wanted to talk about and I didn't even get into the dating thing at this age and having a kid and all that. I mean, I will say that for anyone who might be, I think it's common for people in their 40s to sort of start looking and, you know, what kind of habits and things in their life. And like, it's the midlife thing of where have I come from and where am I going from here? And you'd see a lot of people maybe figuring out that they want to quit behaviors that aren't working for them. I would really encourage you if you're just thinking about it. In my case, I knew that what I was doing wasn't good for me. I actually knew before it got really bad that I was probably going to have to quit drinking. And then when it started getting really bad, I was afraid I couldn't. And during those couple of years when I was really afraid, I just felt trapped. But I think before that, just having that glimmer in my head of this is probably something I'm going to have to deal with. I wish I had done it when I thought that. I wish I had not waited until it got so bad that I really felt trapped. It would have been hard enough for me to stop drinking at 35, but if I could go back, I didn't miss anything between then and now that, you know, drinking in the intervening years, like, it wasn't worth it. As much as at the time it seemed like, oh, I'm being social and having a great time, I have a great life now. I have a better relationship with my daughter. If I could have 10 years of my life with my daughter back when she was younger and be completely sober all the time and be clear-headed all the time, I would do that in a heartbeat, because even though I managed to be a good dad during those years anyway, I still wish my memories were clearer, and I wish that I had been, you know, just a little bit more present. So I would encourage anyone who's thinking, oh yeah, someday I'm probably going to have to deal with this, just deal with it now. Just do it, because it's, once you get over the hump of, you know, pulling out, asking people, telling people that you have an issue and that you need help, and trying to not, you know, let go of the shame and say, look, this is just, you know, mental health and addiction are slowly becoming less dirty words. Thank God. I'm really hoping that the stigma gets less and less over time. I see that happening. But just, like, you know, just have the courage to say, I need help with this. I need to stop doing this. Go to a meeting, find an online group, and just do it sooner, because, you know, you don't know when. I don't know when I might have. It's only just pure luck that I never had a drinking and driving accident or hurt someone or really damaged my relationship with my daughter. Luckily, that didn't happen.
Awesome. There's some amazing tips in there. And I like how you touched on the mental health thing, because at the end of the day, addiction, alcoholism, substance abuse, whatever term we want to use, it does come down to our mental health. And a lot of times we do try to balance ourselves out by using something.
Yeah. And I think I certainly know in my lifetime, you know, mental health used to be such a thing that you didn't talk about. And in my parents' lifetime, it was absolutely, like, you know, completely a secret. Like, you wouldn't let anybody, people would, like, you know, hide away a family member that had a mental issue. And people called it, like, a nervous breakdown or whatever. And it just was, like, this huge thing. And honestly, my therapist said, everybody has something. And I think just acknowledging that and realizing, like, it's not a bad word to say that you have depression or anxiety or that you're dealing with whatever stresses that might be manifesting in your life through some, you know, acting out behavior that you don't want to be doing. You know, it could be food, it could be smoking, it could be so many different things, that is a manifestation of some part of your emotional health that isn't right. You know, we don't have a problem going and telling a doctor that we have pain here or there, or that we're, you know, dealing with a physical issue. But when it's a mental or emotional issue, it seems like, oh, I better fix this on my own. I don't need to go to a therapist. I don't need to ask for help. And that's just crazy. It's just as, I mean, our brains are part of our bodies. So it's crazy to not ask for help.
Absolutely. Well, on that note, any last words for anybody listening? Or quotes?
I just want to thank you, Brandy, for the community that you created. I, even at this point in my recovery, I still rely on the online Facebook group and my friends that I've made there. And I know that when, you know, like, I've been very fortunate the last few months, my life has been really good. But when I go through difficult times, like the divorce or any small challenge that I might be facing, the first thing I do is go online and post to the group. And it's just so wonderful to have people that I trust there that I can share with. And it's been really great to meet you in person a couple of times, and I hope we get to do that again too.
Absolutely. Oh, and we will for sure. I'll be back up in the Seattle, Portland area sooner than later. And, you know, it's been amazing.
Wait till it's warmer. It's snowing today. Don't come now.
Yeah, I'm good on the snow. it's amazing. We met when you were about a year, or you had just passed a year, and I was like a year and a half. And then we met like last in September. And it's amazing. Like, right. We both changed so much. And just hearing your voice today is like, again, your voice has changed. You're more confident. And, you know, that's the beauty of recovery. We get to change and grow and become the people that we're meant to be.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you for saying that. And I definitely feel more confident today. And I'm really happy with the direction my life is going. And it's a work in progress.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for being on Sober Shit.
Thanks for having me.